Man, well, it's great to be here once again. I always love coming up here. It's a beautiful area. It's one of the coolest parts of the country. And there's always great fellowship. So I'm glad I got to get here a couple hours early and hang out with everybody over that wonderful Italian food. And so keep doing what you're doing up here. The soul winning map's looking good. And so it's a pleasure to be here once again. This evening, I'm preaching on listening to the right people. Listening to the right people. And what's interesting about Proverbs chapter 1, of course, this is a book that's all about wisdom. And another way of saying that is that the book of Proverbs is really a manual for how to live your life. I mean, it's just continually in every chapter just giving you all this really practical advice, what to do, what not to do, how to live your life, right? How to be smart and wise and succeed at life and not become a miserable failure. And what's interesting about chapter 1 in particular is that one way of looking at chapter 1 is that it's really just all about listening to the right people. In fact, as we go through this chapter, you're going to see that it's literally either telling you to listen to certain people or not to listen to certain people the entire chapter. So it's almost like the foundation for wisdom. We're going to talk about wisdom for 31 chapters. But first of all, we need to understand listening to the right people versus listening to the wrong people. Let me kind of show you a little bit of what I'm talking about. It says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, and then watch this next phrase, to perceive the words of understanding. He's saying, look, you need this book to help you figure out which words of understanding and which ones aren't. So you can perceive those things and say, okay, what I'm listening to right now is legitimate versus it's not legitimate. Look at the next verse. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Right? So he's not just going to listen to any counsel that's out there. He's looking for wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So the Bible is starting right out saying, look, you've got to know who to listen to. You've got to perceive the words of understanding. You've got to attain unto wise counsels. You need to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You've got to receive not all instruction. Later, he's going to say, stay away from this instruction that causes you to err from the path of knowledge, but to receive the instruction of wisdom, right? And then it says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, right? This is telling you who you need to be listening to. Your father, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. Then in verse 10, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, and then on and on. The idea here is, don't listen to these other people. These sinful people are going to come along and tell you something different. You need to be listening to the wise. You need to be listening to your parents. You know, there are people that you should be listening to and who you should not be listening to, right? Later, he's going to say, don't listen to these people that are trying to get you in their gang and trying to get you living a sinful life and everything. And then later, he's going to talk about wisdom is crying out to you and you need to listen. God is speaking. You need to listen. And so there are people that we should listen to and people that we should not listen to. And a big part of wisdom is being able to perceive what's what, to be able to discern between those two things. Good. You see, it isn't always practical to verify everything yourself or to be an expert on every subject or to know everything from firsthand knowledge. You're going to end up relying on other people in your life. And let's face it, different people have different levels of intellect, right? God made us all differently. Some people are really athletic just by nature, and some people aren't, right? Some people are just super cerebral and intellectual. Others aren't. And that's okay. It's just God made us with different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different attributes, and some of us are just kind of average across the board. But, you know, different people have different abilities. But here's the thing. You do not have to be a super smart person or an intellectual in order to be wise. Amen. wisdom's for everybody, because here's the thing. Even if you're not just some super intelligent, intellectual, kind of, you know, nerdy kind of a guy that just, you know, super into book learning or something, here's the thing. If you just learn to listen to the right people and rely on the right people and stay away from bad sources of information, you know, you could still live a life of wisdom. Right? So you can still attain unto wise counsels. You can still listen to that instruction of wisdom and so forth. You can, you know, you don't have to be super smart to just listen to your parents, to listen to what the pastor is preaching to you, and ultimately to listen to what the Bible is saying and follow the wisdom that someone else has figured out for you. Let me give you an example is with the King James Bible in our English language, okay? Here's the thing about that. Like, you could go out and spend thousands and thousands and thousands of hours learning Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and just verifying every translation choice that they did and just going through start to finish and just checking it all yourself. You're just like, I check everything myself. That's not practical. That's ridiculous, right? Now, obviously, a few people are going to do that, and obviously, a few people should do that. But at the end of the day, though, it's really not practical to tell you, well, you're not really going to know for sure that the King James is right until you verify that all yourself. At the end of the day, you're trusting someone. You're basically trusting that the King James translators were those experts and that what they've given us is accurate. And it is accurate, amen. Right? I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God without error. And so there's nothing in the King James that's wrong or inaccurate or that's going to lead you astray. The King James Bible is right. Okay? You don't need to learn Hebrew. You don't need Greek, because thankfully someone already did that for you. You've got these King James translators. They had all that expertise and knowledge, and they produced this amazing translation, which is probably the best translation that's ever existed, you know, in the history of mankind. It's really the par excellence translation of the Bible in the entire world. And there are a lot of other great translations in other languages, but I mean, come on, this is the best one. This is the big one. But here's the thing, and God obviously knew English was going to be a huge language, and so in his providence, he allowed that great collection of scholars to put it together. Well, here's the thing. There are other groups of scholars that have put together other Bibles for you. The NIV, the New American Standard, the ESV, or whatever. And at the end of the day, you know, who do you listen to? Who are you going to trust, right? You know, are you going to go for the King James? Or are you going to go for one of these modern versions? And you can see right away how you cannot necessarily verify everything in life yourself, because you're not going to probably go out and learn Greek and Hebrew to try to get to the bottom of this, right? You're going to have to use some wisdom and listen to some wisdom of some people that are explaining to you why you should be King James and not these modern versions. You know, and obviously there are a lot of great arguments for the King James that are biblical, like the fact that God has promised to preserve his word.
Right.
And so if God promised to preserve his word, then if we have to dig up some archaeological finding of a new, different text, that must not be the word of God. And the traditional text that everybody's been using and preaching from for centuries, that's obviously the true word of God. Okay, and you could also just look at some comparisons of verses, and you start comparing scripture with scripture, and you figure out, okay, the King James Bible's right. But then at that point, you're kind of just saying, okay, well, I'm just going to trust what the King James translators have done. I don't have to learn Hebrew. I don't have to learn Greek. Okay, but everything in life is like this. You're not going to be an expert on every subject. Okay, so a big part of life is figuring out, who do I listen to? Who am I going to listen to? You know, I want to attain unto wise counsels, not unto foolish counsels. Okay, and as we look at the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs is giving us the tools to be able to discern these things. Okay, now here's the thing. There are really two ways to know what's right and what's wrong as far as morally, right? Because we go through life, and we have all these decisions, and a lot of them are moral decisions. You know, what do I do in this situation? What's the right thing to do here? What's the wrong thing to do here? And one of those ways that we can learn right from wrong is by reading the law of God. You know, so we could go back to the Old Testament and we could read all those laws that God gave the children of Israel. And here's the thing, even though we're in the New Testament, we're not under the law, we still can see the moral basis for those laws and understand that the morality underlying those laws is God's perfect morality that he is teaching to mankind.
Right.
You know, when he's speaking against things like murder and stealing and adultery and all these different things, obviously the morals there are perfectly accurate, okay?
Amen.
So, you know, one way to know right from wrong is to look at the law of God, and that will teach us what is right and what is wrong, what is ethical in this situation and what is not, okay? And then another way to know right from wrong is the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to lead us into sin.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is going to lead us to do what's right. And even if we don't necessarily know what the law of God says in a certain situation, a lot of times God's Spirit is just going to basically let us know, hey, there's something not right about this. And we kind of just get a sense that, okay, this is right, this is not right, because we're being led by the Spirit of God. But at the end of the day, don't claim that you're being led by the Spirit of God if what you're saying contradicts the Word.
Amen.
You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct us and lead us and show us what's right. But you better check it with this book as well. And if it contradicts this book, I guarantee you that's your imagination. That's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, if you would flip over to 2 Samuel chapter 13, let's get an example of listening to the wrong person. Okay. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 13, we have Amnon, who is one of David's sons, and he ends up getting some really bad advice, listening to the wrong person and doing something horrible. He commits a wicked sin. And there's so much wrong with what he does here. But look at verse number 1. It says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister. It's actually his half-sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So here's the thing. Amnon's instincts are telling him, this is wrong. This is wrong. You know, I feel this way, and it's wrong, and so I need to just stay away from this temptation. This is not right. I'm not going to do this. So he's doing great until his evil counselor comes along and tells him to do the wrong thing. Because then it says in verse number 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And of course, he's going to proceed to give him some very evil advice. But before we get into that evil advice, I want to just point out the thing that he starts out with, the thing that he leads with when he says, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And what we see here is this mentality that everybody has to be happy all the time, or this mentality that everybody is just entitled to whatever is going to make them happy, right or wrong, right? It's like, well, you shouldn't be sad. You're the king's son. You're a big shot. You're important. You shouldn't be sad, right? Why are you sad? You shouldn't be sad. Well, here's what's making me sad. I can't have this sinful thing that I want. Oh, well, you just need to have that sinful thing, because you shouldn't be sad, because you're the king's son, man. You can have whatever you want. And here's the thing about these evil counselors, right? Because what's the sermon about? It's about listening to the right people and not listening to the wrong people. And here's the thing. When you got people counseling you to do things that are contrary to the Bible, you're listening to the wrong people. Okay. But here's what they'll do. They'll come at you with this kind of flattery, right? And so this is a sign you're listening to the wrong person, is when this person comes to you and flatters you and also tells you that you're entitled to things that are not right. And let me just give you an example. You know, you can think about how many women will be in a situation where they'll say, oh, my marriage is so bad and my husband's such a jerk. And there are just plenty of Jonadabs ready to come along and say, girl, you are too good for him. You need to drop you that zero and get you a hero. Right? There are going to be tons of those wicked counselors. And you'll see it all the time on social media. Somebody will put up a post, like they'll put up like anonymously or something, and they'll say like, oh, you know, my husband comes home and he doesn't want to do housework and he doesn't want to help with the kids, or he bought me the wrong Christmas gift or whatever. And there are just so many people. You got to teach him a lesson. Right. You got to show him what's up. If he doesn't appreciate you, it's time to move on. That's the kind of stuff that they say.
Right.
Constantly just telling women, you need to move on, you need to leave, you're too good for him, he doesn't appreciate you. And I'm sure that there are other situations where the same thing, where you know, maybe men are telling men to leave their wives or something like that. You know, look, the Bible says that God hates divorce.
Yeah. Amen.
The Bible says what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But then these evil counselors come along and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, your situation, though, you know, he just doesn't appreciate you. You know, if there's or you know, if the fire's gone out of the relationship, it's just time to move on. And let's face it, if you're married for a long time, there are going to be times when, yeah, the pilot light's hopefully always still on, but, you know, the oven goes out sometimes. You know, the oven goes out sometimes, but you know what? The pilot light's still there. You can fire that thing up later. You know, marriage has its ups and downs.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, my marriage is at a high point right now. But look, there are low points.
Yeah.
You go through the valleys, you go through those, you tag those summits of those mountain peaks, and you know what? You stay with it. Why? Because God said to stay with it. God said what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God said he hates putting away. But then you get these counselors coming along and they flatter you. You're so wonderful. That's why you're too good for him. That's what they'll say. I mean, whenever you look at these people that are telling women to leave their husbands, they'll flatter them like, well, you deserve better and you're so wonderful and you should be with another dude or whatever. But here's the thing. Just as much as Tamar is off limits unto Amnon, guess what? If you're a married woman, other dudes are off limits unto you.
Amen.
Just as much as Tamar is off limits to Amnon, if you're a married man, other women are off limits unto you.
Amen.
And so you need to be with the wife of your youth and stay married. And there are always going to be people who are cheerleading you to divorce your spouse. It's easy to find people that will cheerlead that and tell you that you're right. They'll tell you to, you know, rebel against authority. They'll tell you to break God's laws. They'll tell you to do all these things. And they're not going to be using the word of God, but they're just using their own kind of worldly logic or worldly wisdom. And, you know, the Bible says here that Jonadab was a very subtle man. Jonadab's no dummy. It's not that Jonadab's just stupid. It said Jonadab's wicked. Okay, so you have a lot of smart people coming along and giving you some really wise advice, but it's the wisdom of this world that's foolishness with God. Okay, we need the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So we understand from this story that he is getting some horrible advice from somebody that's, hey, you're the king's son. You should be happy. You want her? Just take her, right? You deserve this. And that's the kind of advice that people get all the time. But then if we compare that over to Proverbs chapter 1, he said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How are we going to discern who is telling us the truth and who's lying to us? Well, the person who's telling us to walk in the fear of the Lord is the one who's giving us the right advice. Like, hey man, I'd be afraid to leave my husband. I'd be afraid to leave my wife because God said no.
Amen.
That's the advice that's coming from the fear of the Lord. So the first thing I want to point out here from this story is that, number one, he's using flattery and saying like, hey, you're entitled, you deserve this, you know, do what makes you happy, and life's too short, and blah, blah, blah. And you hear that kind of stuff all the time. But then the second thing we see here is that his advice is contrary to the Word of God. Because what he's telling him to do is basically he's telling him, you know, well, you're just going to force this relationship on her. And actually, he's telling him to physically assault her, to basically get her by herself, get everybody out of the room, just get it to where you have her alone, and then just pounce on her and just force her to be physical with you. And obviously, this is super wicked because we can think of all the things that are wrong with this. Number one, it's fornication. They're not married. Number two, it's incest because it's his half-sister, right? That's super wicked, right? Number three, it's rape because it's not consensual. I mean, you know, go down the list, everything that is wrong with this. This is one of the most emotional parts of Scripture reading for me. Whenever I'm reading my Bible, I like the part where this guy gets killed. I'm not going to lie. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of like, you're kind of rooting for Absalom a little bit, just because Amnon's such a rotten person for doing this. And when Tamar's like rending her garment, she's all upset and everything. And I'm just like, ugh! Like this story makes me more mad than almost any story in the whole Bible. This story gets me upset. Okay. But look, this story never would happen without listening to the wrong person. Because if Amnon would have just gone with his own instincts, he would have been fine. If he would have listened to the right people, if he would have listened to the Word of God, listened to godly counselors. But no. He listens to this wicked guy, and he ends up committing an atrocity here. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1 with that in mind a little bit. So Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible says, in verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Now look, obviously, we should all go through life wanting to learn and gain knowledge. But again, we want to make sure that we're learning from the right people. It's not just learn from anybody. Learn whatever anybody's teaching, whatever anybody's saying. No. We need to be able to perceive. That's why this is chapter 1 of Proverbs. Like, okay, if we're going to go down this path of wisdom, I'm not just going to tell you, hey, get a bunch of education, learn a bunch of stuff. It's like, well, no. You got to learn from the wise. You got to perceive the words of understanding. You've got to have discretion, okay? Because what is discretion? Look at verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Discretion is knowing what is appropriate and what is not, what is right and what is wrong, okay? And so you don't want to just necessarily just learn everything from everybody. You want to make sure you're listening to the right people. And God, in the book of Proverbs, is giving us the tools to know who we should be listening to, because we don't want to be listening to Jonadab. Right? We want to be listening to the right people. So here are some things right here in the passage, people that we should be listening to. Number one, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So the first person that we need to be listening to is the Lord, which means the Bible. Okay? Whatever the Bible says is right. There's no counsel against the Lord. Any counsel that anybody gives you that's against the Bible, mark it down. That's a Jonadab. Amen. That is a wrong counsel. You should not listen to it. And here's the thing. Just because a whole bunch of people are saying something, just because all of society is saying something, you know what the Bible says? Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Right. And I saw this quote the other day, and I thought this was a great quote. It's some kind of like a possibly apocryphal historical quote from a Roman emperor, but he probably didn't even really say it. But who cares who said this? It's just a great quote. The opinion of 10,000 men is of no value if none of them know anything about the subject. Yeah, like the opinion of 10,000 men doesn't matter if none of them know anything about the subject. And so you have all kinds of people talking about things that they don't understand, that they have no knowledge about, that they have no experience with, but they're the experts and they're going to tell you, oh, it's this way, it's that way. It doesn't matter how many of them are saying it. Okay? They're all wrong if they contradict what the Bible says. Okay? And here's the thing, let's face it, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Okay? There are a lot of errors out there, false doctrine, wrong-headed thinking and ideas, bad counselors, bad advice. Right. And so it doesn't matter if, well, you know, all of the experts agree, you know, that you know, you shouldn't spank your children. It's like, well, you spank them anyway. It doesn't matter if all the experts have decided that you don't. Well, you know what? Nuts to them, because I'm going to go with what the Bible says. I don't care what the experts say or whatever, right? And obviously, there are a lot of things we could point to in this world where all the experts will make some pronouncement and then end up being wrong about something.
Yeah.
Okay? Like think about all the bad, like, dietary advice that's been given out over the years and, you know, telling you that eggs are bad for you or something, right? And then there's that commercial when I was a kid where all the eggs were getting out of jail, you know. That's the theme of this evening. We're talking a lot about prison tonight, so, you know. So basically, you know, it was like a prison and all the eggs are in prison, and then, like, it said, hey, give eggs a break, and they're, like, releasing all the eggs from prison because the scientists had figured out, whoa, eggs are actually good for you. Right? And so, yeah, it turns out eggs are fine. Of course eggs are good for you.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know, maybe that should be obvious. But then again, I had that commercial guiding me through life. So that's why I knew they were fine. You know, so I guess it's easy for me to say after the fact. But the point is that, you know, just because so-called experts of this world are in mass numbers claiming that this is good for you, or this is what you should be doing, this is how you should do your marriage, this is how you should do your child rearing, at the end of the day, only what the Bible says matters if there's a conflict.
Right.
You know, look, if a bunch of experts are agreeing on something and it's not in the Bible, and you say, well, I'm just going to trust what these guys are saying, okay, you know, maybe they're right. Hopefully they're right. Often they are right. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many people are contradicting the Bible wins.
Amen.
The Bible's right. And you know, I think about these Old Testament scriptures about warfare on the battlefield, where he says, one of you will chase 1,000 and two of you will put 10,000 to flight. Now that's talking about a physical battle. Today, in the New Testament, we're in a spiritual battle and we're casting down imaginations. We're casting down every thought that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, right? We're in a spiritual warfare that has to do with ideas and information and doctrine and right from wrong. And at the end of the day, one guy who's got the Bible on his side trumps 1,000 guys who are contradicting the Bible, right? Two pastors who are staying true to the Word of God, that trumps 10,000 that aren't.
Right.
You know, and think about the story of Micaiah, the son of Imlah, right? In the Old Testament, you have the Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel, and they're consulting with the prophets of the Lord, quote unquote, to figure out whether they should go to battle. And you have 400 preachers that are all unanimously supporting the war. And then you have one guy, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, saying no. He's the one dissenting voice. And you think, well, I mean, come on, there's 400 pastors, 400 men of God. They must be right. But at the end of the day, only one of them is actually preaching the Word of God. And so at the end of the day, the Word of God, we need to just take it to the bank. The Word of God trumps what anyone says. Even if you have a godly pastor, it trumps what the pastor says. Even if you have godly parents, it trumps what your parents say. It trumps what the so-called experts say. At the end of the day, the final authority is the Bible. And so we need to lay down that foundation. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. That has to be laid down as the foundation, first of all. So that's what we see in verse 7. Because verses 1 through 6 are basically saying, hey, we need to figure out, you know, who to listen to, because we need to find the wise counsels and the words of the wise. We need to have the discretion, and we need to perceive the words of understanding, versus, nah, this is stupid, I'm not going to listen to this, versus, okay, yeah, this is the words of understanding, right?
Amen.
Then when we get to verse 7, we start getting specific about who we need to listen to, and he says, hey, it's the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord is the first thing. But then after that, he says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay, the Bible is telling you next, after listening to the Lord, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. And we live in a generation that is rebellious against their parents, right? Disobedient to parents, as it says in Romans 1. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up, the Bible says, right? And look, we need to hear the instruction of a father and forsake not the law of our mother. Listen to mom and dad. Now, again, you could say, well, what if my mom and dad are counseling me against, you know, what the Bible says? Obviously, the Bible reigns supreme. We all get that. We all understand that. But you know what? The vast majority of what everybody's parents are telling them is right. Yep. Even if they're not even Christian parents. Like, most people's parents, when they're talking to their kids, like, most things that parents tell kids are right and are true and are in accordance with the Word of God. Now, you can sit there and try to find discrepancies because you're just looking for an excuse to rebel against your parents. But at the end of the day, though, let's face it, God says over and over and over again, obey your parents, honor your parents, listen to your parents, fear your parents, listen to them, obey them. And so at the end of the day, that's what it is. Okay, what I mean, look, even heathen parents, you know, most heathen parents are probably telling their kids, like, hey, don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs. I doubt that parents are like, you know, join the gang that's right for you. You know, I mean, you got to find your gang. You know, you're young, so, you know, you want to make sure you get into the right gang. But let's face it, the vast majority of parents are all telling their kids certain things. Don't commit suicide. Don't join a gang. Don't get on drugs. Don't drink. Right? Don't do these things. And especially if you have Christian parents, it's a no-brainer. They're giving you all this wisdom. Don't tattoo your body. Don't fornicate. Don't get into gambling. Don't go out and do these things in the middle of the night and all these things. Look, hear the instruction of your father. Forsake not the suggestions of your mother. Forsake not the law of your mother, the Bible says. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. And I love this wording that, you know, there's so many things in the Old Testament that have like a double meaning. There are a lot of plays on words in the Old Testament. And I love how it says that the instruction of your father and the law of your mother is like chains around your neck. Because if you think about a chain around your neck, it could be one of two things. It could either be something decorative that you would choose to wear as an ornamentation. Or if you think about chains around your neck, it could sound like really restrictive. Right? Like when I was a kid, I remember I had only seen one kind of chain in my entire life when I was a little kid. And it was like the chains that would attach the motorcycle trailer to the truck. So it's like you'd hitch up the motorcycle trailer to the back of the truck and you had like chains. So it was like, you know, each link is like the size of an egg or something. So I'm thinking about eggs now. But basically, you know, you have these big metal links, and that's what I pictured when I thought of a chain. That was the only chain I'd ever seen. I thought this was called a necklace. You know, I never heard that called a gold chain. So, you know, when you're a little kid, your world is very limited. And so I've seen like chains. And I remember reading the story in Daniel as a little tiny kid, like, you know, I don't know, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. And reading that story, we say he's going to put a gold chain around his neck. And I mean, I pictured like a gold chain, like a monster chain around his neck. Like, you know, like make Mr. T look like he's not carrying a lot of metal. You know what I mean? I think it's like a chain around his neck. And so here's the thing. Like, the stuff that your parents is teaching you, the rules that your parents have for you, the things that they're putting down as laws or rules or restrictions, you know, you could kind of look at those things in two different ways. You could look at that as a gold chain around your neck, like, yeah, this is something that's a symbol of status, or this shows that I, you know, have money or something, or just it's decorative or ornament or whatever. Or you could see it as something that's like a burden, like kind of dragging you down, like, yeah, the old ball and chain or whatever, you know, of my parents' rules and teachings. You see how you can look at the same thing the same way? Yeah. And I think it's also interesting, too, that in Acts chapter 7, it talks about how when Moses goes down and kills the Egyptian, What do they say to him? You know, they say, who made thee a prince and a judge over us, right? Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? And then, a couple of verses later, it says, God sent him to be a ruler and a deliverer. And it switches the word judge for deliverer. Okay. And what's interesting is that in the book of Judges, the judges, what are they actually doing? They're always like saving everybody, right? The judge comes along and he delivers Israel. Why? Why is it called a judge if he delivers it? Because he also judges. Because it'll be like, yeah, this guy defeats the enemy, frees everybody, delivers everybody from bondage. But then what does he do? He judges now. So like for years and years and years, he's literally like a judge, like in a courtroom type thing, where he's deciding what's right, what's wrong. He's telling people, you're right, you're wrong. And he's doling out punishments. Like, okay, this guy needs to get beaten over here. This guy needs to pay fourfold. This guy needs to be put to death. He's passing judgment. That's what a judge does. Read the book of Deuteronomy and it says, bring him to the judges. The judges will punish him, or the judges will declare him to be not guilty. Okay? So here's the thing. It's interesting how God will use the word judge and deliverer interchangeably. He'll have a book called the Book of Judges, and it's about people who deliver you. Why? Because it's really just the perspective of how you look at these things. You see, you could look at the rules that your parents have for you as super restrictive, and they're weighing you down, and they're dragging you down, or you can look at them as super beneficial, delivering you from a life of heartache, delivering you from addiction to drugs, delivering you from alcoholism and all the different pitfalls that go with sleeping around and fathering children out of wedlock and all the wrong things that are out there, right? And so you can say, oh, so judgmental. Oh, so, no, they're a deliverer. Yeah. I'm delivermental. I'm not judgmental. I'm up here delivering you from all this stuff. But it's like, you know, who made thee a ruler and a judge? Hey, I'm here to be a ruler and a deliverer. Yeah. Mom and dad are a ruler and a deliverer. And it's the same thing with the Bible. It's the same thing with your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven's got a lot of rules too. And you know what? He's not up there just trying to ruin your fun and trying to make you live a crummy life. He's trying to show unto you a more excellent way to live your life. You need to listen to him. And you need to listen to other people on this earth that represent him, like your mom and dad. Okay? So it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to hear it. They don't want rules. They don't want to hear what's right, what's wrong. They just want to go out and do what they want to do. They don't want to be with their husband anymore. You know, they're just going to leave because they don't want to. They don't want to be with a wife anymore. They're just going to move on. And they got all the Jonadabs cheering them on. But no, we need to follow the rules. Okay? Mom and dad have rules, but you know what? God's got rules too. Because even when you move out of the house and now you're your own man, well, guess what? God's still got rules for you no matter if you're 100 years old. You got to follow God's rules. And so he says, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. He says, hear the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother. And then he says in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. Now, obviously, this is a really extreme example. And God will often give kind of extreme examples of just a really bad counselor, because these people are actually trying to induct him into some kind of a gang or something, right? Because they're saying, you know, cast in thy lot among us in verse 14. Let us all have one purse. You know, we're going to do organized crime. You know, we're going to break into houses. We're going to take away the lives of the owners thereof. We're going to steal stuff. We're going to do an inside job, because they say also in verse 18, they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives, right? So they'll even do an inside job where they're even breaking into the homes of their relatives, right? And their base or people that they're related to and victimize them. And so the point is here that these people that are trying to induct you into this gang and try to get you involved in crime, stealing, murder, whatever, Okay, these are obviously the exact opposite of listening to the Lord, listening to your parents, whatever. So it's kind of an extreme example. And these are not the only people that you should not listen to. Okay, but it's kind of like an exaggerated example of like the people you really don't want to listen to. Okay, so you don't even want to listen to people that are even kind of like this. Okay, people that are telling you to sin are the wrong people to listen to. Okay. People that are telling you that the law of God is wrong, they're the wrong people to listen to. Amen. You know, God's law is right about everything, every single time.
Amen.
Now, just because we're not living under the law, it doesn't mean that the wisdom of the law is not right every single time, period.
That's right.
It's the Word of God. And earlier I talked about how there are kind of two ways to determine what's right and wrong, as far as learning about morality and learning what is right and what's wrong. One of them is, you know, looking at the law of God. And if you look at the laws of God, you can figure out pretty quick which things are right and which things are wrong. But also being led of the Spirit, right? Being led by the Holy Spirit is another way to know what's right and wrong, okay? Because if you're a Spirit-filled Christian, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're not under the law, because we will instinctively do the right things if we are walking in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. But at the end of the day, the way to check that is to check it with the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to sin. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not going to be guiding you to do something. So, well, you know, I prayed about it. And I just, you know, the Holy Spirit is leading me to, you know, leave my spouse. But people will literally say that.
Right.
Or here's what they'll actually say. Well, you know what? I prayed about it and I have peace about it. I have peace. You know what? You know what? I'm gonna murder my baby through abortion, but you know what? God's giving me peace about it. You know, I'm gonna make babies in a test tube, but I got peace about it. You know what I mean? I'm divorcing my spouse and marrying somebody else, but you know what? I prayed about it, and I know I'm doing the right thing. It's just God's giving me peace. What does the Bible say?
That's right.
What does the Bible? That's all that matters.
Yep.
Only what the Bible says ultimately matters in these matters of morality. And you know, you can say, "Oh, I prayed, I have peace," but you know what? What does the Bible say?
Amen.
If it's something that the Scripture speaks on, you need to defer to that. So let's jump now to verse 20 here and get more of a positive example. So the negative example is verses 10 through 19, this sort of extreme example of just the worst possible people to listen to, just these super sinful criminals trying to get you into all this violence and crime. But look at verse 20. It says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." And so again, if you are obedient, if you are seeking knowledge, what does the Bible say? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally or freely, and he upbraideth not. Right? If you ask God for wisdom, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Right? And so what is God going to do? He's going to pour out his Spirit unto you, and he's going to make known his words unto you. Again, you got the leading of the Holy Spirit on one hand, and you got the written text of Scripture just to make sure that you're not just following your own personal feelings and mistaking that for the Holy Spirit. You check it with the Word of God. But, you know, there have been times, like when I was growing up, there were times when I didn't really know the Bible that well. And I'd be in church and I'd hear something preached and I would just think to myself, something isn't right. And I couldn't explain why, but I was just like, there's something wrong with this. And I remember sitting in churches as a teenager listening to the NIV, and I knew nothing about the King James issue, but I just thought, something's wrong with the NIV. There's something wrong with it. I don't know why, but there's just something wrong. Or I remember I would hear these preachers getting up and like rebuking the devil and blaming all these things on the devil. And I remember just thinking like, this doesn't sit well with me. This is right. Then later I read the Bible, and it was talking about like not bringing a railing accusation against the devil. And I was like, psh. I knew there was something weird about that. Something didn't sit well. Because the Holy Spirit will sometimes alert you like a little red light kind of goes on, like, whoa, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't seem right. But you got to be careful, because while we don't want to discount that, because that God does lead us that way. He will kind of give us that red light coming on or a green light coming on when we're hearing something. We're like, yes, this is the voice of the shepherd. This is the word of God. This is truth. At the same time, we've all been a little bit brainwashed by society, haven't we?
Yep.
So sometimes that red light is actually a red light from this world's teachings and this world's indoctrination, when really what we're hearing is right. It's just, we're like, well, this doesn't, you know, and I've preached things directly from the Bible before and just, it just doesn't seem right. No, there's something wrong about that. But it's like, wait a minute, it's what the Bible says. Yeah. That's not the Holy Spirit red lighting that. That is the world's indoctrination that's having a problem with it. So that's where, at the end of the day, we need this. The more sure word of prophecy right here. Yeah. We need this in order to test things right. When we're wondering. So the Holy Spirit's super helpful, guiding us, leading us, helping us make right decisions. But at the end of the day, we need both. We also need the Word of God. And so God's going to give us both. He'll pour out His Spirit unto us. He'll make known His words unto us. If we're receptive, if we want to know the truth, if we care about wisdom, if we're seeking for truth, He will reveal it to us. And so wisdom is crying and begging people to listen. And saying, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. At the end of the day, when you see people hearkening to wrong teachings, bad counsel, rejecting good preaching, rejecting good doctrine, rejecting good teachings from their parents, and going to the wrong type of counselors, the people who are bolstering their sin, bolstering their rebellion, bolstering them as they break God's laws, these people are without excuse. It's not like you can say, well, they're just stupid and they don't know better. No, because wisdom called and they refused.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wisdom is out there screaming and yelling her head off in the court. I mean, what does it say? She's crying in the chief places of concourse. She's out there saying, hey, listen to me, listen to me. And then it's just like, well, he just doesn't know better. Well, then why doesn't he listen as God is calling to him and when wisdom's calling? And by the way, you see people who've been in church for hundreds of services going out and doing stupid things with their lives. Yeah. What the heck? They should know better.
Yeah, right.
Wisdom is crying on Sunday morning. Wisdom's crying on Sunday night. Wisdom is crying on Wednesday. Sometimes wisdom even cries on Friday night. Are you listening? Because if you're listening, God will pour out His Spirit unto you. He will make known His words unto you. And you will be able to discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that feareth the Lord and him that feareth him not. You will be able to perceive the words of understanding. You will have discretion. You will be able to attain unto wise counsels. And you will be able to understand the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Okay? And look, you say, well, I'm just not that smart. You don't even have to be that smart. Okay? You know, I guess the average IQ is 100, because that's even what the 100 even means. You know? I heard somebody say one time, the average IQ in America is 100. It's like, well, that's literally, the scale is literally calibrated to the average at 100. That's literally what it means. So if the average has to be 100 by definition. Okay. But here's the thing about that. I don't care if your IQ is way below 100. Okay. That doesn't mean that you have to be a fool. Because you know what? All you got to do is hitch your wagon to the right locomotive. Okay? Right? Because here's the thing. You know, you could be a person with a low IQ who hitches up your train car to the KJV locomotive, while some guy over here with 130 IQ is hitched up to the ESV. He's going to be the fool. He's going to be the one believing a bunch of stupid stuff. Right? He's the one listening to the wrong people. He is going to go down the dark path. And so, you know, it's not about necessarily being intellectual. And I do think we should increase learning. The Bible says we should hear and increase learning and we should love wisdom and instruction. But at the end of the day, we all start with a certain hardware. And you know, I think IQ is stupid anyway. I don't even like IQ tests. I don't think they make any sense. But really, you know what IQ is really telling you? It's kind of just telling you like what the hardware of your computer is, right? It's like, it'd be like, let's say you have a computer that has this many gigs of hard drive and this many gigs of RAM and this is this many gigahertz of processor, right? So you have like all these specs on your computer, right? But here's the thing. You could have a computer with all the right specs and it's got the, I don't really know about computers, but like, you know, it's got the Intel quadruple Pentium, blah, I don't even know what that means. But you know, it's got some fast, I always just walk in and say, give me a fast computer. I don't know what any of this means, just give me one that's fast. Whatever. Oh, the quadruple mega core pixel, blah, it's like, whatever, man. I don't even know what any of that even means. But here's the thing, you could have just the most tricked out computer, but it's empty. The hard drive's empty, right? Because when you buy it from the store, it's pretty much empty. Okay. Or you could have some 15-year-old dinosaur computer, you know, and you're running Linux on that thing or something. You know, you don't even have the modern operating system and whatever. And you could be, you know, doing all kinds of crazy stuff on there. You being super effective and you're hacking a storm. I don't know what you're doing. You know, you're tapped into all this stuff. I don't know. Whatever computer people do. It's not the hardware. It's how you use it. It's what you put on it, right? You could have an El Cheapo computer filled with great data. Filled with great files. Great software. Or you could have this, oh, really fancy computer. It's just full of stupid, dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because here's the thing. God's given us all different hardware. Maybe your processor is faster or slower than mine. But at the end of the day, it's not the hardware. It's what you do with the hardware.
Right.
Okay? And so at the end of the day, it's not a contest of who can be the smartest and the most intellectual. And look how much smarter I am than you or, you know, whatever. That's not even what it is. Okay? Because you could be smart intellectually and be a dummy when it comes to how to live your life. Because at the end of the day, wisdom is about living your life in accordance with good doctrine. Following the Lord. Obeying your parents. Listening to good counsel. Rejecting evil counsel. And so here's the thing. You can be standing on the shoulders of giants and still do great things for God and still have boku wisdom, whether you're intellectual or not, as long as you're listening to the right people. I mean, look, have you noticed that some people will come into the new IFB and it's like they've only been saved for 6 months, 12 months, and it seems like they just know so much doctrine. You know, because it's all being handed to them on a silver platter.
Right.
Because they're hitched up to this locomotive of the new IFB that's dragging them up the hill super fast, right? And it's not, I think I can. It's, I know I can. But the point is, but then you got other people who are literally saved for decades and they're like struggling with basic doctrine.
Yeah.
Why? Because they are hooked up to the wrong locomotive.
Yeah.
And I've talked to so many people that said, you know, oh man, you know, I learned more in this church in the last year than I've learned in the last 20 years going to different churches. So you see how that works?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We can all be wise, regardless of how, quote unquote, smart we are in the world's eyes, because here's the secret, is just listening to the right people, tapping into other people's expertise and knowledge, but listening to the right people.
Amen.
Okay? And God's telling you who the right people are, by the way.
Yep.
He's telling you it's the Bible. It's your parents. It's people that are talking about stuff that is in line with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so people who do stupid stuff, they don't have an excuse because wisdom's screaming her head off and all the information's out there, the preaching's out there, the Word of God's out there, the KJV is at every Dollar Tree or Walmart or gas station, and it's readily available, the truth is out there, and if you seek, you will find. The people that are going down a dark path, it's because God called and they refused. Wisdom called, they refused. Their parents warned them, they didn't listen. The pastor warned them, they didn't listen. Brothers and sisters in Christ told them they were going down a dark path and cited scripture in context, and they didn't care.
Yep.
And they have no excuse. They said it not, verse 25, all of God's counsel. Right? He's wisdom says, you've said it not all my counsel, would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Look, folks, people who are out there doing stupid stuff, it's because they didn't choose the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a choice that they made. You can make the right choice.
Amen.
They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. And notice how the chapter ends. The chapter starts out saying, you got to know who to listen to. Perceive the words of understanding. Attain unto the wise counsels. Listen to the wise people. Listen to the Lord. Listen to your parents. Then at the end, it's like, you didn't hearken to me. That's what wisdom is saying. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. It's all about listening to the right people, not listening to the Jonadabs of this world, not listening to the gang members of this world, the flatterers who are going to come to tell you you're entitled and, you know, you're in a special situation and the word of God doesn't apply to you, because when the Bible said, you know, for wives to submit to their husbands, it was talking about a totally different kind of husband than the one that you have. And when the Bible talked about loving your wives, it's talking about one that's lovable. But here's what's funny, if I got up in the average church in America and I said, hey, we only love our wives if they're lovable, amen? It'd be like, what the heck? It'd be like, what, right? Wouldn't people freak out? But here's what happened. When you say, well, you know, the wives need to reverence their husband, they'll say, well, he has to be worthy of being honored.
Yeah.
Honor your father and mother. Well, they have to be worthy of being honored. You know, oh, well, he has to be, you know, only if you have a husband that's blah, 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 then you'll obey him. But what's funny, if you flip it over and just said, well, yeah, I'll love my wife as long as she's worth loving, people would be like, you're a monster. Because that would be a horrible thing to say, wouldn't it? If I said, well, I'm going to love my wife as long as she's worth loving, as long as she's worthy of my love, that would be a terrible thing to say. That would be an offensive thing to say. So then why is it okay to say, well, you know, you only obey your husband when he's worth obeying, and you only reverence your husband when he's worth reverencing. He has to earn that. He has to earn that honor. You know how he earned that? By marrying you.
Yep.
He literally earned it. Like, it was. This is how he earned your respect, by saying, I do.
Right.
And you know how he earned the right to be an authority in the marriage relationship? By having the male anatomy attached to his body. You think just because you have a whatever that makes you the boss? Yes! Why? Because it's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I don't know, Pastor Anderson. Well, I do know! And you know what? The Word of God's readily available at every gas station. You know, but we got a bunch of gas bags out there telling us, oh, you know, well, if all these caveats and everything. No, no, no. Why don't we just follow the Bible?
That's good.
Why don't we just do what the Bible says?
Amen.
The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Here's the thing. Sometimes when you're making stupid decisions, sometimes when you're being foolish and listening to the wrong people, sometimes things will go good for you in the short term. This is the worst thing that can happen to you.
Yeah.
Why? That's why the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. Because here's the thing. If you're going down a super dark path, you know, you want to be chastened because you don't want to, like, go all the way off that cliff, right? Whereas the prosperity of fools will destroy them. Which is why this whole doctrine about God blessing Christ rejecting Israel is kind of an absurd doctrine. Because if they're rejecting Christ and on their way to hell, but then God's like blessing them, he's making it even less likely for them to get saved. The rich, that's why Jews have been so rich throughout history. God's blessing them. But here's the thing. Being rich makes it harder to get saved.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. If you're not saved, you're way better off poor.
Amen.
Being rich is the... I mean, look, if I weren't saved, the last thing I would want to be is a rich man. Yeah. Because it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved.
Right.
Right? So here's the thing. You know, when people are doing wrong and things are going good for them, all this is doing is just setting them up for the bigger fall. Because the prosperity of fools will destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely, wisdom says, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So let me just kind of just wrap it all up with this. Let me just kind of boil it all down for you, okay? The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And another way of saying that is that the book of Proverbs is a manual for how to live your life. It's constantly telling you, this is a good decision, this is a bad decision. This is the right thing to do, this is not the right thing to do, right? It's a very practical book that we should all spend a lot of time reading and applying, okay? But then if we home in on just the first chapter, it's like the first thing that God wants to get out of the way, hey, if we're going to talk about wisdom, if we're going to spend 31 chapters educating you on how to live your life, let's start with one big, colossal thing. You better figure out who you should be listening to and who you should not be listening to.
Yeah.
Okay? Because there are a lot of people out there who are giving you wisdom.
Yeah.
Right? And look, there are all these advertising other podcasts and different programs that, you know, unbelievers are going to teach you the Bible. And Jews are going to teach you the Bible. And, you know, these experts, are going to be a panel of experts teaching you the Bible. And it's only $199.99 or whatever. And then, you know, you've got all these denominations that are going to teach you the word. You know, before you get all involved in learning, shouldn't you want to figure out who you're going to listen to? Because you'd hate to spend thousands of hours listening to Jonadab. You know, or listening to other people that are contradicting the Word of God. So I think what God's really hammering home in Proverbs chapter 1 is, hey, the first step of wisdom is figuring out who do I even listen to. And that can be tough sometimes. Like this is kind of a stupid example, but just think about it as like nutrition. You get 10 books on nutrition, they're going to tell you 10 different opinions.
Yeah.
It's like impossible to tell who's telling the truth. I don't know who to believe on nutrition because every expert contradicts, every book contradicts. I'm super confused about it. And so I'm serious. Here's what I do. I kind of just eat a little bit of everything and just something's going to work. You know, you'll have people just swearing to you that vegan is just so good for you. And then you got these people just telling you it's all about being a carnivore. And it's literally the exact opposite. But they're both so sure that they're right, you know. And then you got all these other low-carb, keto, paleo, you know, lacto-vegetarian, you know, the hallelujah diet. You know, you got just all these different things coming at you. Who do you trust? Are eggs good for me or not? I know where I stand. Okay. And usually you want to know the health advice that the nutrition advice I typically like is just the one that kind of like tells me what I want to hear. I like the one that tells me that stuff that I like eating is good for me. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can listen to this guy. You know, when they start condemning things I don't like, yeah, you know, adults aren't supposed to drink milk. I'm like, shut up! What are you talking about? I love milk!
Amen.
And here's the thing. I don't care who says not to drink milk. I want to drink milk. You know? But in all seriousness, like, I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to listen to. I'm confused. And I think a lot of people feel the same way I do. And I'm not joking right now. Like, I don't know what the heck's going on with nutrition. So I just try to, like, eat healthy, whatever that means. I'm just kind of like, and I don't do any extreme diets because I'm afraid somebody's wrong. So I just, like, I hedge my bets by just eating a little bit of everything. But thank God most things in life, we can figure out the answer. And obviously, yeah, I know the Bible has the answer about nutrition because vegans are full of crap. I get it. That's a no-brainer. I get it. Amen. And sorry, carnivores, but give us this day our daily
bread.
All right. So there goes that idea. But at the end of the day, most things in life are not as confusing as nutrition. Thank God. If you actually care what the Bible says. If you actually care what the Bible says and you want to know the truth is out there. She's crying out to you. You need to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Okay? This pulpit is a good place to get truth. Amen?
Amen.
This is a good place to get truth. Right here. This pulpit. And I'm not talking about myself because I don't preach here. Except rarely. Once a year or something. So I'm saying this church at Sure Foundation, this is the right place to get truth, okay? The KJV is the right place to get truth. Just with a KJV and the Holy Spirit coming to church three times a week, and most importantly, a desire for truth and a willingness to go against the 10,000 people whose opinion is of no value because they don't know what they're talking about. You know, be willing to say the whole world's wrong, the Bible's right.
Amen.
Always be willing to do that. And you know what, my friend? You can navigate this world and figure out who to listen to and who not to listen to. And do not spend a bunch of time listening to people that are full of baloney. You know, depart from a man when you perceive not in him the words of wisdom. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the book of Proverbs, Lord. Help us all to be smart. Help us to be wise about the way we live our lives, Lord. Help us to always let your word be paramount. And Lord, even those of us that are adults, in our, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, Lord, help us to understand that the teachings of our parents are right, and the teachings of the churches that we've been to are right, and so forth. Obviously, if they contradict the Word of God, they're wrong, but Lord, thank you for all the right teachings that we've gotten from our parents and from church, and help us not to listen to the sinners of this world who just flatter us and tell us to sin. And give us permission to sin, Lord. Help us to listen to the people that point us toward the fear of God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.